One of the things that happens in brokenness, in hurt, is often people respond differently to pain. And sometimes in the way people respond, and there's many different ways. There's a lot of ways that relationships can break down. And as we continue in our study of uncommon unity, conflict resolution on our second week of it, I want us to look at what do we do when somebody has been going and somebody has been living in such a way that it's been under our skin for a while. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where there's been a break in the relationship for quite some time. And through that break of relationship, now there's a lot of stuff that's gone under the bridge, right? There's a lot of history. When you think of that person and one thing happens that's a stress on the relationship, it's not just that one thing now. That one thing is one more thing. And the glass has been so filled that when you're pouring water, you can get the water to come just above the top of the glass. And so it just raises, but it stays in the glass. And then if you just drop one more drop of water, water comes pouring out the sides. And what do we do, guys? The reality of life is, wouldn't it be great as if when we came to Christ, all the negative relationships, all the negative things went away? They don't. They don't. We do have a God who promises to walk with us through them, but he doesn't take those burdens away. And so what do we do when we get to that place? And I was really praying of which direction to go for week two. And God just kept saying to me, it's when those relationships have gone too far in brokenness. And so I wanted to deal with that place today because I think all of us, or at least most of us, have at least one or some relationships, which when you think of that person, it's not a joyful thought, it's stressful. It's discouraging. It brings up a lot of pain. It brings up frustration. And as we go through that, we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. And so let's jump into the scripture here. Because one of the challenges that happens with stressed relationships is I start thinking, feeling, and talking about that person differently. Ephesians 4, 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. As what if somebody has pushed you too far? I'll never forget when I was in ministry years and years ago in the second ministry I was a part of. And we were a part of a youth group that was just growing, and it was successful, and all kinds of wonderful things were happening. And a gentleman that I answered to, who wasn't where I was serving, but in the greater area, there was something about me that rubbed him the wrong way. And no matter what happened, I could do no right. And after a few years of having my leaders come and be trained by his group, and every time I brought my leaders to be trained, my volunteer leaders, they would come back crying, discouraged, because his frustration and anger with me spilled out onto them. And after a couple of years, I didn't know what to do, and I was praying, and I was praying, and I was praying, and I realized I can't bring my leaders to that anymore. And so the next time there was a training, I shared with a gentleman, and I just said, I can't. It's not a healthy situation for myself and my leaders, and we need to get things right between you and me before I bring my leaders into that. And within a week, there was a calling for those in the greater area of the ministry to meet to discuss how to get rid of me. And so they called me in, and I went in with one guy who was the head of our committee that was there to support me. And as we were talking and as I was praying with God and as we were going in, one of the things that I heard from the Lord clearly was, do not defend yourself. Don't get into a he said, don't get in. Just be silent. And so I went in there and I prayed and we went in and I tell you, everything that I ever thought or did that was wrong, and I did plenty of things wrong, it's ministry, it came out. And there kept being that opportunity to try and defend. And I tell you guys, it was so difficult because everything in me was saying, I got it. Because it was only half truths in my mind, at least from my perspective. It was only half truths. When the meeting was over, the gentleman who had called that meeting to get me fired was let go. And the gentleman who came with me as my advocate shared more than I ever needed to share on my behalf. Guys, I wish I could say that that was the norm for my life. I wish I could say every situation that your pastor has gone through, that's how he's handled it. Unfortunately, you know why that one stands out to me? Because it was a little different than other things that have happened in my life. You see, sometimes even when I do the right things on the outside, you ever been there where you say the right things and your heart is just as broken and angry and bitter as if you'd done the wrong? Man. See, in real life, it's difficult. And when somebody else does that to us, it almost like it opens up the floodgates and it says, okay, now I'm giving a license. This situation, it's been one more thing. And now I need to express. And so when that happens with us, do you express? We're going to go through three of these things. Do you express suspicion and mistrust of all their words, all the persons who has offended you, all their words and actions? You don't accept what they say, but you listen with scrutiny and criticism and doubt. And you're convinced that of their motives and they're wrong. You suspect their integrity and their motives. And you know that, man, it's not just this one thing. It's a lot of things. As mistrust grows and their motives are their motives frequently assumed to be evil. As you come to this person, I want you to be thinking about this person in your mind. Do you have a natural thought process that says when he asks for help from others, he's called or you think of him as a user? Oh, man, they're just using people. She's just using those people. No matter how appreciative, no matter how appreciative he sounds or they sound, oh, he's just using people. He's never thankful enough. You ever been in that place where the person can do no right? You judge their heart's motivation. Guys, I know when my heart and mind have gotten so far in the wrong place that as I'm having a conversation with someone, I'm not thinking about our conversation. I'm judging their heart. When I'm in that place, something's gone desperately wrong with that relationship. And I got to tell you this, the person at fault in that situation is me. Because I've allowed it to get there. I've allowed it to get to a place where now everything they say, I'm judging the motivation. But the scripture says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only it was helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Because see, one of the things that happens when I'm judging somebody's heart is guess what comes spilling out of my mouth? Now, if I'm strong in that relationship with that person, if I'm secured myself in that relationship, I may say something to them in the wrong way if my heart is in that place. If there's any kind of anxiety or old hurt that hasn't been dealt with, usually I won't say anything to that person. Usually that's how we respond as people. And we come to that place where we say, you know what? And we tell another person. And we bring somebody else. And unwholesome talk comes out of our mouths. Colossians 3:15 says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You see, if we're in a place where we're trying to justify ourselves or we're trying to get others to take our side, there's no peace in our hearts, is there? Because relationships are difficult. Marriage is full of this kind of brokenness, isn't it? Have you ever been in that place in your marriage where something needed to be said and it wasn't said? Somebody needed to stop the direction that things were going. And somebody needed to say, listen, we're not right with each other. Please forgive me. Guys, I want to put this before all the husbands here and future husbands, learn this lesson now if you're single. Scripture is clear that as a husband, you are the head of the home. And that doesn't mean that you rule, because ruling is part of what? The fall. We're called to lead. Remember, in the fall, a husband will rule his wife. It's a consequence of the fall, Genesis 3. But as heads of the home, we're called to lead, which means when there is discord in the family, when there is problems in the family, guys, it's our responsibility not to be right, but to get right. I hope you hear that, guys. It's our responsibility not to be right, but to get things right with our spouse. But it's not just in the marriage relationship. It's in friendships, isn't it? It's with work colleagues. Guys, when there are problems in relationships, it doesn't just affect that relationship. The seeds go out, the waves go out. And as the ripples go out, man, the effect keeps on hitting others. Verse 30 says of Ephesians 4, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Guys, it truly, as unwholesome talk comes out of our mouths, as things come out from our hearts to our mouths to the ears of others, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When I sin against my wife, against my brother, against my friend, it's also sinning against God. And it grieves His Spirit because we were meant to be in right unity with each other. Proverbs 18:2 says this, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own understanding. You see, in foolishness, we don't want to know the whole truth. We want to know and communicate our truth. And what I found out is anytime there's discord, it's rare there's a problem in one of my relationships where I'm not part of the problem. I may not have started it, and I may be really holding on to that. Well, I didn't start it. No, but you're definitely not bringing it to a conclusion. You're planting seeds of bitterness and hate and anger. And then you're feeling self-righteous about it. And when I pray to God in those times, man, my prayers are hindered. When things aren't right with my wife, with my brother, with my friend, what happens to my prayer life? One of you just mouthed me, gone. Yes, right, gone. Because why? Because it's so hard to be honest with God when you know your heart's not right. And so your prayers become, thank you, Lord, for this food. Lord, give me a good night's sleep. Lord, thanks for this day. But what happens in the relationships when they're broken? They have the same sound, don't they? How are you doing? Good. Here's the to-do list. Good. Okay. Did you get this done? Yes. Did you get this done? No. Why not? The same lack of real relationship, right? Because when that brokenness happens, now there's that wedge. And when it doesn't get dealt with, it doesn't go away. We can't just sweep things under the carpet and not trip later. Because pretty soon, the carpet, I mean, going over the carpet, like, you know, it's tough to get over the carpet. Because there's so much junk underneath. Do you express overconfidence of judgment of the person? Have you got him pegged? You've got him pegged. You know what he's really about. There's no confusion there. You know, you can read him like a book. Or maybe you've become so confident of your assessment that you are unwilling to consider that it is you who could be wrong, or partially wrong, or wrong in your approach. Because the heart is so broken and wounded, angry. You refuse to even consider that you have judged another person's heart's motive. You refuse to bring yourself into part of the problem as all. And now it's simply you know their heart, and so I build this wall, and I put a few more bricks. Something else happens, I put a few more bricks. And pretty soon, how do you look over the wall? Guys, I want to ask you this. Some of you are sitting there and you're saying, yes, I agree with you, Pastor, but you don't understand what they did to me. I do. I don't maybe understand what that specific person did to you, but I understand that same kind of brokenness. Guys, for years and years and years, I was out of relationship with my father. And he had done things that there are no excuses for. And he was dead to me. And it caused this. I could smile on the outside. I could even have fun and... But anytime anything came up with authority or anger, the enemy had just the easy button. Just, ooh, you're sure I can get him angry. Easy button. You know that easy button, the red button you push? What commercial was that for? Staples, there you go. Does the enemy have, is he just got that easy button for you? With certain people that, man. And when you come to that place of truly forgiving the person, something happens inside of you, inside of us. But if we don't, that person, they can't do anything right in our eyes, can they? There's nothing that they can do that's right. We're not interested in the answers of this person because we've already sized them up and we know their heart. Solution. Guys, we got to be careful not to think with our feelings here. Not to make the decisions about somebody's character with our feelings. Because when you're broken, guess what? Hurt people, hurt people. Broken people, break people. When we're hurt, we come at things and our feelings now are what we make our decisions based on. Not truth. Not even the truth of what happened, but a bigger truth than just what happened. The truth of how God says I should forgive, how I should love, how I should approach someone who's hurt me.
Proverbs 11:9 says, "With his mouth the godless destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous escape." Think about that. With our mouths, when our hearts have become so polluted that it has to come out of our mouths. And the opposite of that, and who that affects is who? The people around us, our neighbor. But it says here, with his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. Guys, I don't want to be godless. I don't want to act as though I'm godless. I don't want to live my life as though Jesus hasn't changed me from the inside out. And so now the brokenness that was with my father, with my mother, with my brothers, all those old pains, right? All of us have the old pains from family we grew up in, right? That doesn't have to define us. That doesn't have to control us. But through knowledge, the righteous escape. I love that. What's the picture of? I escape. I'm escaping from what? That godlessness that destroys. I'm escaping my need to condemn my neighbor. I'm escaping my need to make things right. Guess what? You can't. I can't. We don't get to make things right as believers. God has done that. God has made it right. But pastor, you don't understand. I understand that's true for most things. But you don't know how bad it got. There's a lot of us that are thinking that, aren't we? I don't know how bad it got. God does. God knows exactly how bad it got. And we'll come back to that in a moment. Do you express separation by choice? Because when you start condemning and it comes out of your mouth and you need to hurt your neighbor, pretty soon it's not just gathering people to come on your side. Pretty soon it gets to the point where you say, they're not dead to me. This relationship is over. I've got to put these things up between us because it's too painful. It's too hard. Am I the only one here? I mean, how often do we get in those positions where we come to that place and we say, you know what? I've come to a place of unforgiveness in my life. I can't do it. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. A wedge of mistrust has divided you from the offender, and that person is no longer viewed as a teammate, as somebody who's with you. Now they've become your opponent, your adversary." That's what bitterness and rage and anger do. I shared with you a story where I successfully love God in a way that honored the people that are around. Now I want to share with you a little bit more of the real me. I love my brother Bart. We're in good relationship now. In high school, I got serious about my walk with God, and I didn't know, I hadn't yet forgiven my father or my brothers. And so these things were just this whirlwind within me. I was going to Lakeside Bible Camp for the summer to do TCL, Training in Christian Leadership. So I've packed my clothes. I've gotten ready for this wonderful trip to serve God. And I put everything in the car and I'm ready to go. And my brother comes and he says, "I know you've taken some of my clothes." And this is one of the few times that I hadn't. You see, growing up, what was Bart and GR's was mine, because we're brothers, right? So it eventually became mine because I'm the youngest of three boys, so nothing I ever had was new. So I knew it was going to be mine one day. So when you have that kind of thing, it was just, well, if not now, later, so now, sure. You see, my brother had every reason to suspect that I had taken some of his clothes,
because 9 times out of 10, I had taken them, used them, lost them, misplaced them, right? And so now, man, but not thinking about how my brother was feeling, simply trying to justify my own heart and self, I was thinking, I didn't take your stuff. I was pretty proud of that fact. Because I was going to Lakeside Bible Camp for training in Christian leadership. God had changed my heart. Things were good. So he needed to be put in his place. I said, Bart, no, I didn't take your stuff. He said, I don't believe you. And I was so offended. Guess what? I lied before. I didn't take it. Yeah, I did. So there's a history there. I don't see the history. I see a guy who doesn't trust his brother when I haven't done anything wrong and I'm trying to justify myself. And I let him know I didn't take anything. And I drew the line in the sand. Well, my brother being, you know, brothers are brothers, right? My brother quickly steps over that line. So, here's Matthew, young Matthew, going to Lakeside Bible Camp, training in Christian leadership, neighbors on both sides out. It's a beautiful day. It's summertime. And Christian Matthew and Christian Bart have a knockdown, drag-out fight in front of the neighbors. He's taking my suitcase and pulling it out. I'm taking it and putting it back in. And fists are flying and trunks are being slammed on people. That was me doing the slamming. I felt bad afterwards. I wanted blood. I wanted blood. He was gonna pay. I hadn't done anything wrong. I had done so much wrong. I had done so, my heart was wrong. You ignore your biblical responsibility to go to the offender because you know that they won't listen anyway. They won't hear. They don't understand. You believe that that person, the offender, that there's not a real problem. There's not a problem with you on your side. It's their problem. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. You see, the problem isn't even about what was taken or what's wrong. The problem is in broken relationship. The problem is you've got two people who are standing on being right rather than giving love, putting the other first, bringing God into the situation. Guys, let me ask you this. Because it's so easy to feel justified when we've been wronged, right? Did Jesus ever sin? Very important. He's the perfect offering for us. He is without sin. Was he ever tempted? Now, is somebody tempted more or less when they don't give in to temptation? They're tempted a whole lot more. When I'm tempted a little and I give in, I didn't get tempted very much. When I'm tempted and I don't give in, there's this weight of temptation. And Jesus is without sin. And he's spit on. And he's mocked. He's God of all creation who's come to give himself so that we could be with him. Because our junk had to be dealt with. God didn't want us to just be gone. To be, ugh. And so he made a way for us to be with him. And as he's going about that very cause, he's being spit on, he's being slapped, he's being mocked, he's being beaten, he's being whipped. He's nailed to a cross and he's killed. Do you think we don't have a God who understands what it's like to be mistreated? My goodness, he knows exactly what it's like to love and not be loved. To give and not have the giving received. When we are praying to God in our brokenness, in our hurt, we have a God who knows exactly what we're going through. And guys, that is a good thing. It's a very good thing. Ephesians 4 ends in the scripture that we're going to, 4:32 says this: be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, we don't have the luxury as Christians to say, I refuse to forgive. We don't get to do that. We're called to forgive as Christ forgave us. Now, let me ask you this. How many times have you sinned in anger? More than twice in your life? More than twice today? You see, we have a God who is long-suffering, don't we? Who is full of grace. We have a God who looks at our lives and is willing to say, my blood covers that sin because they are my child. And we are called to take that same forgiveness that we receive and give it to others. And here's the key, guys. We don't forgive somebody because they deserve it. I want to say this again. Struggle through this one with me. It's a painful one to struggle through. We don't forgive somebody because they deserve it. We forgive because Christ first forgave us. And we forgive because we've been commanded by God to forgive as He's forgiven us. And so if I want to be obedient to my God, I need to forgive the person. And guys, maybe that person has done the unthinkable. And by man's standards, it's unforgivable. I said it last week in referring to something I want to make sure it's clear. Forgiving doesn't mean not dealing with things. Sometimes we have to deal with things head on and take a tough stance, sometimes even a legal stance. But it doesn't mean we hold that bitterness in our heart. If somebody has done something, is doing something to you or to somebody you love, and it is dangerous, you need to remove yourself from the situation. But don't allow taking yourself out of the situation and getting yourself to a safe place to allow your heart to say, I'm dead to them, or they're dead to me. We need to be quick to forgive. I love what Scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because if we don't, then verse 31 is where we end with. If we don't forgive and the sun keeps going down on our anger, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Pretty soon, all those things start to build one on top of another, doesn't it? Our bitterness becomes rage. Our rage becomes so swelling anger that we go into brawling. And once we've done everything we can physically, we're going to attack them with words, slander. After slander, we're going to find every form of malice we can to bring them down. Guess what? If you're living like that with anyone in your life, you're in prison. You're spiritually bound. And that is no way to live because it affects every relationship you have. But be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Guys, God forgave us. He forgives us of our sins. He forgives us of our sins. Think about that. Even me, He forgives. I want to encourage you. Take a moment. Is there somebody that in your own strength, it's too much to forgive, too much? That's okay. In Christ, you can forgive them. Because your identity is not in what they've done to you. Your identity, if you're a believer, is in Christ Jesus.
The old is gone, the new has come. And in Christ's strength and power, you can forgive. We can forgive in God's strength. If there's somebody that you need to forgive, man, I want to encourage you. Today should be the day. If there's somebody that you're holding on to bitterness, don't let it go another day. Don't let the sun go down today without you bringing God in and allowing His strength to allow you to forgive that person. When I forgave my father, it was like 1,000 pounds off my shoulders. I didn't even know. I'd kind of done it. You know when you kind of forgive? You're just carrying some of the weight. But when it's a whole lot of weight, it gets heavy over time. Try and carry 1,000 pounds for a week. It'll slow you down, spiritually, emotionally. Who do you need to forgive? Don't allow another day to go by. Aaron, can you come close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the word that has been preached on this morning. God, you know that you are mighty, all-knowing, all-powerful. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today, Lord, to learn of you, to see who you are and taste and see that you are good. Lord, we are needy people, frail, and we look to you, Father God. Help us, Lord, to remember that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and Christ lives in us. Cause us, Lord, to take our eyes off of things around us and take His eyes off of us, God, and teach us, Lord, to behold you. Allow your light, Lord, to come into our lives and flood out any darkness, Lord.
Yes, sir.
That when we're dealing with things in our lives, Lord, that we're not focused on it, but focused on you.
Yes.
That as we behold you, God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're just dust. Hallelujah. But Lord, we just thank you today. Mm-hmm. Lord, let the word take root in our hearts today.
Yes,
not be taken and swept away. But Lord, we just ask you, Lord, forgive us for where we have fallen short.
Yes, sir.
We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the power to forgive. Cause us, Lord, to move out of the way, that you will reign and rule in our lives. Lord, we thank you on today. We thank you all that has transpired. Continue, Lord, to direct us and lead us. Your word says, Lord, if we acknowledge you in all the ways that you would direct our steps,
yes,
Lord.
Sir.
Let us not just put that truth to the back, but let it be a reality this week in our lives.
Yes, sir.
Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, for you told us to be not conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Yes, sir.
Lord, draw us to your word. Create a hunger and a thirst for your word that we would drink upon the life-giving, changing power of your word. Lord, we thank you today. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name. Let every heart say amen.
Amen.